I want to speak to a demographic tonight that I think gets neglected a lot of times, and in fact, I've even heard complaints. Down where my brother attends worship, down in Hanceville, Alabama, Leon Malden preaches there, and someone came up to him one night and said, "Why are all the lessons always targeted at the young people? You know, old people need lessons too." And so that's who I plan to speak to tonight. Are the old folks. And if you're wondering how I'm going to stay out of trouble with that one, I'm not going to define old folks, because that would be stupid. So when I think about older people, I can't help but think about my old truck. I've got a 1961 Chevrolet Apache 10 that my grandpa gave to me when I was 15. He bought it brand new in 1961. And I love that old truck. There's some aggravating things about it. It will not go over 60 miles an hour. It was made to pull. And so recently we sold a vehicle, and before we replaced the vehicle, I drove that old truck from Coleman, Alabama, all the way up here on the interstate in the middle of the night. I'd go to dim the bright lights, and they would completely go out. That was not fun. It does not have an air conditioner. It was in the middle of August, and I drove to work a couple days. And I really wished we had a shower at the office by the time I got there. But I tell you, there's some good things about that old truck, too. Every time I've driven it somewhere new and people have not seen that old truck, I get offers made to me to buy it. There have been probably 10 times people have offered to buy that truck for me. We also have a 2000 Impala. I ain't never had an offer to buy that car. So there are some advantages to that old truck. It's simple. It's easy to work on. Samantha's dad recently came to see Titus. And when he saw that old truck, he was just aching to work on it. And so sure enough, I found one or two things we could go look at. And he loved to work on it because it's so simple. And it's a heavy vehicle. You don't find vehicles made out of metal anymore. And so there are some definite advantages to the truck. But also, I don't know if y'all have noticed, but I sure have, that the American companies with their muscle cars, have you noticed what they've started doing? They've started doing throwbacks. Now your Camaros look a lot like the old Camaros. Your Chargers look a lot like the old Chargers. Well, they had to bring the Charger back. And so, and then there's one more, the Challenger, I think. The new cars are now looking back at the old cars to get examples, to see what was done right then and apply that to today. And so I think we can take that parallel and look at it and how it is to be an older person. And so the first thing I want to look at and recognize is that there are dangers to being older, to getting older. It becomes very easy to get discouraged when you're older. There's a lot of things working against you. Your body's not quite working the way it used to work. Things are starting to break down. Joints aren't bending quite the way they were. Things are more painful. You tend to get sick a little bit more. That can be very discouraging. That can weigh on you. You're not able to do the things you wanted to do before. For whatever reasons, preparations may not have been made, and financial problems might begin to arise because of medical bills. You know, you're not working. You're not making quite as much as you were before. You're not drawing as much money. Financial problems can get to you. It can get you down. And so it's very easy for that to cause discouragement in older people. And because of all these things, and all these things that get stacked up against you as you grow older, what I've noticed is it really starts to yield a lot of excuses for things. And so, you know, every little thing that comes up that they could be doing, well, they use one of these things as an excuse to get out of it. And obviously, that is not a good thing. Another thing that might come, another danger that might come as we get older, is you might tend to start thinking that it's going downhill from now. It's a coast, you can coast now, because certain things are not quite the way they used to be. So you might get the idea that maybe temptation might be starting to dwindle. You may not have quite as few temptations. There's certain physical things that aren't there anymore, that don't cause temptation for you. And you've faced so much in your life. You have gone through so many temptations, and you've come out victorious, and you've handled it. You've been a Christian a long time. You've seen what there is to see. You might start getting a little confident, a little too confident about temptations. And so you don't recognize the danger there because you feel that you are able to take that temptation on. And so you might get a little overconfident, and then that might open a door. And the legs can be taken out from under you. I think one of the big things that happens, though, when you get older, is you might have a tendency to become a little bit closed-minded. You think through your experience that you've pretty much learned all there is to learn. And you may not think that out loud. You may not even realize you look at life that way. But I think that danger is there. Even just being a Christian for a while, you start thinking, okay, well, there's nothing more for me to learn. And you might start taking that attitude with you when you start to study and when you start to do things and when you go about your life. There's no point in trying to improve because I've done everything I can. I've learned everything I can. And that can cause problems because sometimes you can start hindering God's work simply because you think you know best. Now, we won't take the time to read it, but you remember the story of the old prophet and the young prophet. The young prophet was coming back from fulfilling a task that the Lord had asked him to do. And the Lord told him, do not stop, do not eat and drink, and do not come back the same way you went. And the old prophet heard about the young prophet coming. And when you read the whole story, you realize this old prophet really didn't have any malicious ideas. Didn't seem to have any malicious intent because of the way he acted later on in the chapter. But he thought he knew best. He thought because he was an older prophet and he had more experience, he thought his idea was a good one. And so he convinced this young prophet to come and eat and drink with him. And as you remember the rest of the story, that did not turn out well for the young prophet. And so if we get closed-minded and we get to thinking that we know what's best, we can really hinder what God needs done. And then another way we can become closed-minded is that we get such a good knowledge of what's going on. We feel like, you know, we understand, we feel like we know what's scriptural, what's not scriptural. I think sometimes, and I've seen it in churches, to where you get so tied down to what is right and what is scriptural that you forget your first love, just like Ephesus did in Revelation chapter 2. They had forgotten their first love. But before he says that, he tells them, you are doing a great job of keeping out false doctrine. And so one of my jobs at work is being the network administrator, which means I have to maintain what you call a firewall. It works a lot like a firewall in your car. It's a wall that keeps anything from out there on the internet from getting into your network. Well, that's good. If you lock that firewall down, nothing can get into your network. But what's the problem with that? You lock it down too tight, and then your network can't do any work, right? And so my job is to make sure that the right things get in that's supposed to get in, and the right things get out that's supposed to get out. And so I think we have to be careful as a church, as people getting older, that we don't prevent the good things from coming in. We don't prevent the love of Christ of coming in, and we don't prevent the love of Christ from going out. And so when new ideas come up, yes, we need to check those. We need to make sure they're scriptural. We need to make sure we have authority to do it. But we shouldn't just shoot them down just because it's a new idea. And so we have to be careful that we don't lock down so much that the work of God cannot be done and the love of Christ cannot do what it needs to do. But becoming old is not all bad. There are some advantages. In Proverbs 16, verse 31, the silver-haired head is a crown of glory if it is found in the way of righteousness. there are some things that I am really looking forward to if I'm able to be an old man. And one of those is having time for the more important things. You know, maybe children are out of your house now. Maybe you're retired. Maybe, you have more time to do things that matter the most. Namely, study of the Scriptures. Keeping your mind sharp. The best way to keep your mind sharp is to use it. Just like a pocket knife. You know, how do you sharpen a pocket knife? You try to cut a rock, right? What's the quickest way to dull a pocket knife? Cut a box open. And so if you challenge your mind with something difficult and study, it will stay sharp. But if you quit studying and you don't do the things to keep your mind sharp, it will become dull. And the last time I spoke, I mentioned Brother Bruce Crawley, who spent his last several years in Athens. And at that point, I spoke about how happy he was, even as an older gentleman. But there was another aspect of Bruce Crawley that really impressed me. He'd let us know, he would memorize poems and quote them. He'd memorize poems and scriptures and entire chapters of scriptures. And at one point, he had a stroke. And the way he wanted to make sure that he was okay was he would start quoting those poems and those scriptures. And so he kept his mind sharp. And so people such as Bill Hall was still going to him in his final days for advice for things because his mind was still sharp and he was still studying. He was still having Bible studies in his house, even though he couldn't even make it to services anymore. And so we've got to keep our mind sharp with study, and we have the time to do that. We have time to devote to prayer. I love that story that was told in our recent meeting about, and I forget who it was that was telling it, I apologize, but he was visiting this older gentleman. And so he visited for a while, and then the older gentleman said, "Excuse me for a little bit, I've got to go talk to God." And the man went to his bedroom, shut his door, and was in there for 45 minutes to an hour, and then came out. I think that's something that would be great to be able to devote that time. And we should be doing that now. But all I'm saying is that it's even easier to do that when you get older. You have more time available to you. I think also you could be able to spend that time teaching. In Psalm chapter 71 and verse 18, it says, "Now when I am old and gray-headed, O God, do not forsake me until I declare your strength to this generation, your power to everyone who is to come." Take that time you've got to teach, whether it's here, whether it's at your house, whatever it is. Take that time to teach people. Learn how to teach people. Be teaching us as a younger generation. We'll talk a little bit more about that in a moment. Another great advantage to being older is being able to have had the time to have lived and see the providence of God. You have time to understand God's wisdom. You appreciate it more. I'm still pretty young, but I was able to see a long span of providence with my grandfather. My uncle died at a very young age, and my grandfather had never been a Christian. But at that point, when my uncle died, my grandpa started attending services. And so then about 5 years later, my grandpa became a Christian. And so it took 5 years, and nobody could understand why, you know, such a wonderful, wonderful young man had to die. And I'm not sure that was God's plan or not, but we sure believe it. We sure think that was the case, that was what allowed my grandpa to understand what was important in his life. And so the providence of God takes time. And it takes more than a year a lot of times. And so if you are older, a lot of times you've been able to see something over the span of 20 years or more. You've been able to see that from the event that spawned it to the result that came from it. You were able to have that opportunity to have seen that and draw appreciation of God's wisdom. And also you've had time to obtain wisdom yourself. And then I know this is, you know, pretty cliche, but what happens with the more wisdom you get? The less you find out you know. And so The less you know, the more you appreciate God's wisdom and the more you appreciate God overall. And then, this is kind of delicate, but I think we need to talk about it. When you are older, the simple fact is heaven is closer. And it should be like your senior year in high school. You remember your senior year? I mean, you're looking forward to graduating, right? You're not in that big a hurry to graduate, but you're looking forward to graduating. And you have that anxiousness of getting to that point. And you're looking forward to it because that's where you think, you know, everything's starting to come together. That's where everything's going to be good. The only difference in this and high school, well, there's plenty of differences, but one of the main differences is once you get out of high school, you're ready to go back to high school. But that's not going to happen with heaven. But heaven is so much closer. And so we should be looking forward to heaven. And so each day we live, as we get older, we are getting closer. And y'all remember the example of Paul, of what he was telling the Philippians in chapter 1, in verse 21. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live on in the flesh, this will mean fruit from my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I cannot tell. So life was okay with Paul because he knew work would get done. But if it was just purely about him, he was perfectly fine with dying because that meant heaven was close. That means he was going to get to be with his Lord. He was going to be able to obtain that goal that he had been working for. I mean, so getting old is not all that bad. It's actually got some pretty good advantages to it, and in my opinion, they outweigh the disadvantages a great deal. But there's one more thing I want to talk to you about tonight, and that is what we, as a younger generation, need from you as an older generation. And one of the most obvious ones is advice. And that the whole chapter, or a lot of the chapter of Titus chapter 2 talks about that very thing, the passing on of knowledge from an older generation to the younger generation, the older women to the younger women. We need that advice. Now, I know what you're thinking. You young whippersnappers won't listen to us when we give you the advice. But there's some things, if you keep in mind, I think you'll sneak it in there. And one of them is, don't be grumpy with it. Why, you need to be doing this right here. That ain't going to work. We're going to turn off. Now, I got to be careful about doing that stuff right now. But we can't be grumpy with it. We can't be mean about it. Or, you know, because us young people, we hear grumpy and mean. We just forget it. We shut down. We put that big wall up in between me and you. And so you also can't demand it. You better listen to me or you're going to have problems. You better do it. You better listen to what I'm having to tell you. Okay, now we're turning off again. Our defense mechanisms start kicking in again. So we can't do it. You can't demand that we listen. I mean, you hope we do, but you can't demand it. And so we got to be careful about that. But I tell you one of the best ways, though, to be able to give us advice, spend time with us. Spend time with us. I'll tell you, young people always appreciate free stuff, especially food. And so if you want to spend time with a young person, take them out to eat. Invite them to your house. Feed them. Open mouths, also open ears. So spend time with them. Take them, the older gentlemen, take the young men. Take them fishing. Take them hunting. Take them bowling. Take them, you know, do whatever. Just spend some time with them. Pay them to come do work for you. Pay them to do things for you and guide them and help them. Almost apprentice them. I don't know if that's even supposed to be used as a verb, but you get the idea. So take them under your wing. Women, have the young women over. Show them how to sew. Show them how to cook. Have classes. Take them, you know, invite a young person with you to go when you take food to sick people. You know, do these kind of things. Take young people with you. You will be surprised how often they will come with you. They won't turn down opportunities very often. I promise you, they'll do a lot more than you think they will. And so when you do that, you expose them to your knowledge just by second hand. You know, you may not even realize what you're teaching them when you do this. They see the way you act around people, and they see the wisdom behind the things you do, hopefully. And so just spend time with them. That is one of the best ways that you can give advice to young people. And so once we start seeing that, we start opening up, we start feeling closer, we may even break down and ask for advice. Who knows? So spend time with young people. And I'll tell you one that might be a little obscure or may not be easy to see is one thing young people need from older people is respect. You remember Paul tells Timothy, let no one despise your youth, but be an example to the believers in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity. So he tells Timothy not to let them despise his youth. What does that say to the older people? Don't despise his youth. So, you know, it's just like an employee-employer relationship. You know, while there's a clear hierarchy there, there's still respect that goes both ways for that to work. Does that make sense? And so, you know, if you respect us, it's going to make it a whole lot easier for us to respect you and get what we need from you. And so we need that respect. But what we need the most of, though, is examples. We need examples from older people. We understand. We know about these ailments that I talked about earlier. We know about these physical ailments. We know about these struggles that you go through. We know that you are having these issues. And we see you still coming in to worship. We see you going out and doing things and helping people. We notice. We see it. And we appreciate it. And that means something to us. I mentioned my grandpa earlier. The last couple years of his life was not very comfortable. He was attached to very, very uncomfortable medical equipment. He was still coming to church. Are you telling me that that didn't make an impression on my mind? I'm telling you about it right now, so that ought to let you know. And so what I would ask you to do as young people for a minute, or anybody else, do what I have done. Anytime I think some little something might keep me from coming to services, maybe I'm not, you know, feeling a little well, got a little headache or something, I think about going to my grandpa and telling him why I'm missing services. And I end up getting dressed and coming. And so y'all think about that. And y'all think about examples we have in this congregation of doing the same thing the next time you're thinking about missing services. But also, not only in coming and attending services, but in your leadership, in worship, or in Bible studies, or anything else. We need those examples. We need people showing us how to do that. I know I've seen it a lot of times. Older gentlemen will pass that responsibility on and say, we need to let the young people do stuff about that. Okay, think about that logic a minute. Have you ever seen a college football team, when the game was on it, take their seniors out and put their freshmen in? I've never seen it. And if they have, they probably didn't have a job very long. You have all this experience. Use it. It's not time to quit. It's time to use it. So keep going. Do not try to just pass it off to the younger people. It's time for you. Let's get the mix in there. Let us work together. And so we can learn, so we can see the examples that you are giving us to become stronger Christians and better leaders in the church. And so we need you. We need you, older people. We need you for advice, and we need your respect, and we need you as an example. I ran across this verse when I was studying for this, and I think it kind of sums up my point that I'm trying to make pretty well. It's in Psalms 92, 12 through 15. The righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bear fruit in old age. They shall be fresh and flourishing. To declare the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. So if we are planted in the Lord, old age is a blessing. Old age is good. And so, but if we do not have God, if we are not Christians, none of these advantages that we talked about are going to apply. And so I ask you tonight, are you able to grow old peacefully? Are you able to grow old usefully? Are you able to grow old looking forward to heaven? Whether you're young or old, can you do that? Are you able to do that?